Be careful what you ask for. Hello, everyone. I want to turn your attention to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, we want to see what the Lord would say to us today from this passage. We'll read from verse 10. And it reads, "Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias!' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' So the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, so that he might receive his sight.' And then Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.' And Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me to you that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately, there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with his disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, 'Is this not he who destroyed those who called in this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest?' But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ." May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is your voice and it speaks to us. Pray that today will be no different. And as you speak to us, O God, may we open up our hearts to do what you would have us do. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, the passage is describing a man that we normally call Paul, but he's being referred to here as Saul. So if you hear me say Saul or Paul interchangeably, know that I'm speaking about the same person, for we do that all the time. We know that Saul became Paul. But the passage, of course, refers to him here as Saul. Now, in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 11, 11 and verse 8, we read, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going." By faith, Abraham obeyed. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, we read, After Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, he heard, "Whom shall I send and whom? Who will go for us?" And then he said, "Here I am, send me." Isaiah was called, and he also was obedient to the call. Isaiah, like Abraham, had a heart of obedience. But here in Acts chapter 9, this time the call was to a man named Ananias. And he is described as a certain disciple. I want you to take note of that. Not an elder, not a deacon, not someone special in the church. He is simply described as a disciple. In other words, it could be any one of us in the church. He had no special office that is referred to here. And I want to give you a description of who a disciple really is. I know we heard that description last week, but it wouldn't hurt to hear who a disciple is again, because God is in the business of calling people. He did that back in the day of Ananias, and I believe God is still calling men and women today. God is still calling men and women today. Not special men and women such as elders and deacons or people of special offices. Anyone. We have a tendency to think that the work of the church belongs to the leaders of the church. And so because I'm just an ordinary person who sits in a pew, I can't be called by God. That God has no use for me because I'm just an ordinary person. A certain disciple called Ananias, just an ordinary man, a man who would follow Jesus as Jesus would have any one of us follow him. So a disciple is someone who follows Jesus, learns from and assists in spreading the teachings of Jesus. A disciple is someone who was shaped by the identity of Jesus, who has the worldview and way of life of Jesus. A disciple is a worshiper, a servant, a witness of the Lord Jesus. A disciple is a Christian who grows in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, wanting to become like him. That was the heart of this man called Ananias. He was a servant of Jesus and simply described as a disciple. And we so often, like I said before, just come to church, we sing the hymns, we enjoy the sermons, we enjoy the solos, etc. But we don't open ourselves normally to perhaps being called by God, perhaps being used by God for a particular assignment. Are you open to an assignment from God? Ananias got the call, and Ananias responded. And the response, of course, from Ananias was, "Here, I have heard, here I am, Lord." In other words, Ananias was ready. He was ready to serve. He didn't tell God, "I heard your voice, but let me think about it, Lord." No, Ananias was ready. "Here I am." The Bible tells us that the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For he is praying, and in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias," which is you, "coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Ananias had a problem. What was the problem? He had heard about the reputation of this man called Saul. And it is natural. I mean, I think if I was in his position, I may have responded exactly the same way. But the truth of the matter is, we don't need to inform God about anything. God knows everything. Ananias responded in a way that suggested that God didn't know about this man. Lord, you don't know who you're talking about. I heard about this man, so let me tell you something about him. The irony of the situation is, when God called Ananias, he had already taken care of Saul. God was way ahead of Ananias. When we pray, brothers and sisters, it is good to remind ourselves that God already knows what we are praying about. Too often when we pray, we sound as though we're informing God. As though he doesn't know that brother so-and-so is not well. That he doesn't know that brother so-and-so is sick. That sister so-and-so, you know what I'm saying? We give the impression as though God is not aware of something to happen. Well, God knows everything. We must understand that. God knows everything. John 1, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20 says, For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. He knows all things. Don't try to inform God. He knows. Just pray to God that the outcome might be in the favor that he wants according to your will that you want. Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8 says, therefore, do not be like them. He was speaking of those who would, the doubters. He says, don't be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In that manner, therefore, pray, our Father who art in heaven. You remember the incident there, the Lord's Prayer being taught to them. But Jesus himself is confirming that God knows everything. But Isaiah there, Ananias, I beg your pardon, was confronted with the fact he had heard about this man, Saul's reputation, and he was fearful. He didn't want anything to do with this man. Paul's reputation was known to everyone. They had also known that he was coming, and he was coming to arrest and take those who were in the way, those who called Jesus Christ their Savior. He was going to arrest and take them back to Jerusalem. But God's response to him was this. God said, go! Go! For he is a chosen vessel. I want us to take note of that. Go! In other words, God was not exactly dismissive of what he said. But God wanted him to know by his one word, go, that this is already known by me and it's okay. It's okay. When God gives us an assignment, God has already taken care of the issues that we don't even know about. Go, for he is a chosen vessel. Let me ask you something about that. A chosen vessel. Who is a chosen vessel? Is that only for elders, deacons, special people in the church, again, like I mentioned before? Or could any one of us be a chosen vessel? I think you know what the answer is. We are all chosen vessels of God. God is the one who chose us, by the way. We did not choose him. It was God who chose us. We are all chosen vessels. As a matter of fact, the story of Saul, one who was so anti-God, one who was so wanting nothing to do with this just God, this Jesus. Many of us were like that. We didn't want to go to church when our moms and our dad tried to get us to church. We came only because we had to go. We came screaming and shouting in our hearts. But one day, thank God, he opened up our eyes and we were able to see that God indeed is one that we can trust and obey and that we can be used by him. So God is saying to Ananias, his response, this is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my witness before Gentiles, before kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. What I like here is, in as much as Ananias had his reservation, when God told him he is the person he was going to meet, we see nothing here afterwards of Ananias rebelling against what God told him to do. Here was a brother who was open to the voice of God. It is no different from every one of us. We have our own ideas. We have our own opinions. But what do we do when the Lord speaks to us? When we get direct instructions from the Word of God, do we still hold on to our stubborn ways? Or do we do what God says we ought to do? When we read the Word of God, do we allow the Word of God to transform us, in other words? Or we still hold on to our stubborn ways? Ananias immediately became at ease. He was able to do what God asked him to do. Go! Do as I told you. Would to God that that's our response when we read the Word of God. So often we read the Word of God and we educate ourselves with the Word of God, but we don't allow the Word to change our minds or understanding like Ananias did. Ananias didn't want to have anything to do with God, but once God spoke to him, he was able to go confidently believing in what God told us. Well, here, God speaks to us the same way from his Word. No, you may not hear from God in a vision, but you have the Word of God. And God speaks to us exactly the same way through his Word as he spoke to Ananias. James tells us this: but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. But he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one is blessed in what he does. Doers, doer, doer, does. In those two verses, those who respond to what the Word says. The reading of the Bible is not just for knowledge. It's for conviction, it's for change, it's for growth, and it's for action. Be ye doers of the Word. That's what God wants from us, to be doers of the Word. When we hear from him, as we read his Word, are you a doer of God's Word? So Ananias obeyed and he went to Straight Street. And oh, what a transformation that took place. Ananias, God told him that Saul had already seen him coming to lay hands on him and for him to receive his sight.
And so Ananias went in there, in the house of Judas, on Straight Street. And Ananias touched, or lay his hand, the Bible says. But it's the touch that mattered, as God instructed him. Why touch? Why lay hand on him? It would have made no difference to God if he had said to Ananias, go there and just say, in the name of the Lord, receive your sight. It would have happened just the same way. But the Lord said to him, lay hand on him. And that was interesting to me. That was interesting to me. You know, I had heard something about the human touch. What a difference it makes. And here are some things about it. Touch is important for human and animal well-being, growth, and communication. Touch releases chemicals that lower stress and pain, increase happiness and connection. Physical touch is important and among our most basic needs. When met, our bodies release oxytocin, dopamine, and serotonin, the feel-good chemicals, while cortisol, the stress hormones, is inhibited. You know, when I did some research on that, I had to conclude. You know, sometimes when we listen to our professors, they are so dismissive of the Bible. But when I read this about the importance of touch, what it tells me is this: that the Bible is not trying to prove science. The Bible is way ahead of science. It is science that is catching up with the Bible. They could write about human touch and how important it is. God knew that. And it's one of the reasons why God would have Ananias go into that house and put his hand on the blinded Saul. Think about it. Saul was there 3 days and 3 nights without any food. In his mind, he had no friend. He was now an enemy of the Pharisees and the chief priests, those who sent him to Damascus. Christians didn't want anything to do with him because they heard that he had come to arrest and beat them and take them to Jerusalem. So Paul was in a no man's land, no friend, and out of the blues, well, not out of the blues, because God had shown him in a vision, there came Ananias with that special touch, lay his hand on him and said, Brother Saul. My God, that was music. That was music to Saul's ear. 3 days and 3 nights. Blinded. No food, no water. I ain't got a friend in this world. And there, Ananias comes in and he says, Brother Saul. Brothers and sisters, disciples, you and I can make a difference in the life of a new believer. Our presence, our communication, our confidence, our jointness with new believers, new professors of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the things that we do can either enhance or discourage a new believer. It was a special, special touch. When Saul felt the touch of Ananias, all the dopamines and all the fancy stuff the scientists describe here, he was in a new world. I have a friend. I have a friend. And my friend is Ananias. Can you imagine the bond? Can you imagine the bond that developed between Saul and Ananias? You know, when we read Acts chapter 9, we only think of the conversion of Saul. But when we think and when we look deeply into the role that Ananias played, As Saul confessed faith in Christ, it made the world of a difference. Now hear this. I'm going to use my imagination here now. What was Paul's reaction after he was touched by Ananias? What do you think was his reaction? I'm seeing a man who would be apologizing deeply and profusely. Who would be saying, "My brother, thank you for coming. Thank you for restoring my sight. Oh, my brother, I am so sorry. I am so sorry for what I've done. I am so sorry for causing the death of Stephen. I am so sorry for beating so many Christians. I am sorry, I am sorry." I believe Saul was apologizing and maybe even crying to Ananias at that moment, that transformative moment. And here the thing is, as I thought about that, and I'm saying to myself, what would have been Ananias' response to Saul? And I believe it would have gone something like this. "My brother, it's okay, my brother. It's okay. Brother Saul, it's okay. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new." Now, the irony of that is, of course, a quotation from 2 Corinthians 5:17, which Paul himself wrote. And so I'm thinking, is there a possibility that at that moment, that this is exactly or something like it, he would have heard from Ananias himself, and so later on could record that to the Corinthians? Think about it. I'm not saying that's the case by any means. We don't find that in Scripture. But I can see that possibility, that he was so moved by the response from Ananias that Ananias would have comforted him with those words. And he in turn could turn around and comfort the Corinthians with those same words. We don't know that for sure, but maybe one of these days when we get to heaven, we'll learn. But if that's the case, I wouldn't be too surprised. I wouldn't be too surprised. Time is pretty much gone. It was Jesus who blinded the eyes of Saul. There was no assistance by anyone given to Jesus to blind Saul when he was on that road to Damascus. I have no doubt, and I know you have no doubt too, that Jesus by himself could have given Saul back his sight. Jesus didn't need assistance. We read from the Gospels that Jesus Christ gave sight to the blind. You remember blind Bartimaeus? He was on the roadside. When he heard the commotion, he asked what it was. They told him it's Jesus. And he began to shout, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Kept so much noise that Jesus told his disciples, "Go get him." Of course, the disciples took him to Jesus, and Jesus asked him that important question. "What would you have me do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And the Bible tells us next that immediately he was healed and he began to see. So we know that Jesus can heal. Jesus did not need the assistance of Ananias to give Saul back his sight. And so the question is, why? Why would he involve Ananias? Ananias was so important, and the connection to Saul was so important, that we read in verse 19, "So when he had," of course, Ananias, after Paul had received back his sight, Ananias baptized him, and of course Ananias would have encouraged him. Verse 19 tells us, so immediately there fell from his eyes. No, so when he had received food, I beg your pardon, verse 19. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Think about that for a moment. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. How in the world would have Saul made those connections to the disciples and being able to spend time with them had there not been for that middleman, that bridge, a man called Ananias? You see how important Ananias' role is? And Jesus knew that he would need a human connection for Paul to associate and for the brethren to be comfortable with Saul in their presence. And so Jesus would use Ananias to bridge that gap. No one trusted Saul. Everybody knew about his reputation. How dare he come now and tell us about Jesus Christ? Everybody would believe he's playing a game. Don't trust him. Don't trust him. He's playing a game. But because of Ananias, he was able to comfort them. He was able to testify on behalf of Saul now that yes, indeed, the Lord has spoken to me and the Lord has used me to give sight to the eyes of this man. You can trust him. The Lord has told me to trust him, and you too can trust him. And so this verse here makes sense. Then Saul spent days with the disciples at Damascus. Disciples are an important connection to the rest of believers. You and I are more important than we know. And God uses us. And sometimes God wants to tell us to bridge certain gaps, to do certain things, but we're not hearing him. We read his word, we quote the word and all of that, but we are not doers of the word. Thank God for the wisdom of God. Jesus could have healed Ananias, but he did not. He chose instead Ananias to bridge that gap. We would read later on that Saul began to preach Jesus in the synagogues and confound them. That is all because of Ananias. He would not be given any permission to preach God's word in their company had it been not for that connection. Oh, we thank God for the Ananiases in our church. The Ananiases in the kingdom of God, for they all play such an important role. You know, sometimes God is speaking to us. We're so self-occupied. We're so into ourselves that he has to knock us off our high horses sometimes before he can get our attention. This, of course, is what happened to Saul. I believe the Lord was speaking to Saul in various ways before, but it took a drastic act by Jesus right before he entered Damascus for him to get, including the blinding of his eyes, for the Lord to get his attention. I pray to God that that wouldn't be the case for any one of us. Before Paul became a Christian, Saul, Paul, he was taking instructions from the chief priests. And the chief priest there represents the devil. Now that he was a Christian, Saul was now taking his instructions from the Lord Jesus. Think about that. Too many people have confessed faith in Christ, but are still taking instructions from the devil. Saul left Jerusalem for Damascus with his own intentions. On his way to Damascus, and he got the authority to go there. I can imagine he was so elated. Guess what? God was elated too. Because God wanted him to go to Damascus also. What he didn't know is that while he had a plan, God also had a plan for him. God may have a plan for you. You may have your own plan. You may be ignoring God, but God has a plan for you. Listen to the voice of God. Just like blind Bartimaeus, as he approached Jesus, and Jesus asked him the question, "What can I do for you?" It's very possible that the Lord is asking someone here today that self-same question. What can I do for you today? And I would think that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I don't care what problems you have. You may have serious problems, granted. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the number one response that you can give him is that you would receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is your most important need. Yes, no doubt you may have other needs. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the best need that you can fulfill. And the Lord will take care of every other need that you have. My God shall supply all of your needs. But the one need that he wants to supply more than any other is his Holy Spirit in your heart, just like Saul, after you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, if you've been battling, "I know I should receive Jesus Christ, but next week, I'll come back to church next week. Not today." Next week is not promised. Yes, you can live for many, many more years. Don't ignore the Lord when he speaks to you. The Lord wants you to be saved today. Amen.